Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Welcome to the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Eric Smith, and this is the Week 3 Sit-Start Edition. I am joined by Drew DeLuca, as always. We will go through Drew's rankings according to ECR, go through some of the tougher decisions of the week. As always, though, we've got our Sit-Start article on the website, so please check that out. We've got a ton of great information in there. So I'm excited to get into it this week. Drew, I think the injury floodgates have officially opened. I was going through Roto-World, whatever we're calling it nowadays. I just kept scrolling on injury news. So the good times are over, Drew. We are into the meat of the fantasy season. I think we're all used to it by now, but it's still a little jarring when, you know, Nick Chubb goes out for the year.
Oh, absolutely. It's bad. I mean, we had Aaron Rodgers week one. We've got Nick Chubb week two. I mean, what's next? Can we get a break at least for a week? Hopefully for week three, we could just get through without any major catastrophes. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Drew, but when I see the headline that the injury is too gruesome for TV, I do not watch the replay. So I don't know if you have a stance on this, but I avoid all injury replays as much as I can. I've still avoided this one, and I think I can live happily having never seen Nick Chubb's injury.
Yeah, same. When ESPN of all people say it's too gruesome to show, I did not go looking for it. I didn't want to see anything of it. I was scrolling through looking for something, and somebody was kind enough to post the image of him shredding his knee when he was at Georgia. I was like, I didn't need to see that. Right. But I haven't seen the most recent one, and I don't have any plans to. So maybe I'm just scarred from as a kid watching Napoleon Kaufman destroy his leg and Tim Crumry in the Super Bowl watching the ankle fall. And all. I don't need to see that. And I just feel bad for Nick, for Chubb, and, I hope he can get right again. So, I just hope he's able to, not have any long-term health effects from this and much less come back and play and be anything close to what he was. So, Thoughts are with him for sure. And also for all his teammates. So that's just hard to see. Hard to watch. You're watching the video, you're watching the telecast. You can hear him screaming in the background. It's just awful.
Yep. All right. Well, we're on the same page with that one. We definitely appreciate these players laying it on the line for us. So I hope Nick Chubb is feeling better very soon. So, but like I said, please check out the Sit Start article on the website. We got a ton of good stuff. We've got our What We Saw and Waiver Wire podcast coming out every Monday night, Tuesday morning. Colin Elsliger, Mario Adamo Jr., and Brian Hartman. So we got a lot of good stuff on the site right now. We got QB streamers, all kinds of stuff. So please check it out. But Drew and I are going to get into some of the big topics today. We're going to start out with news because we have a lot. So let's actually start out with a couple transactions up top. Cam Akers, Wednesday night, as we were recording this, he got traded to the Vikings from the Los Angeles Rams. I just know that we will mention that in the running back section. We were going to talk about Alexander Mattison anyway, so we will hit on the Cam Akers trade to the Vikings a little bit in detail later. Another transaction, speaking of the Browns, is they bring back Kareem Hunt to somewhat replace Nick Chubb. Nobody can really replace him, but Kevin Stefanski did reiterate that Jerome Ford is the lead back. So what do you think, Drew, Kareem Hunt being added to the Browns? Like, how high are we on Ford? How high are we on Hunt? What do you think about this backfield?
Well, I'm guessing that Hunt's going to have a role sooner rather than later. As soon as Chubb went down, I don't think a half an hour passed before my brain went to, well, I guess we're going to see Kareem Hunt back in Cleveland, and lo and behold, here we are. So I kind of feel like he's going to, you know, play a significant role just because he knows that offense so well, and knows Stefanski has got some comfort in him. I think he's probably going to end up having a role over Pierre Strong. Don't know that for a fact. It is worth pointing out that the Browns did trade for Pierre Strong. They went out and said, I want that guy. So, my confidence there is not as high as it could be. We're talking about Kareem Hunt, who, you know, he's a decorated running back in this league. I'm kind of buying Ford as a lead back here, no matter what, for the foreseeable future. I think maybe a 60-40-ish kind of a split, you know, whereas Hunt's maybe getting, you know, 50-60% of the load, and then, you know, Hunt being the primary beneficiary of what's left over, maybe with, you know, Pierre Strong getting a few bones here and there. But that's kind of how I'm envisioning this shaking out. But if that means that you think that I'm panicking on Jerome Ford, I'm not. You have to remember the Browns have one of the best offensive lines in football, one of the best run blocking units in particular. So, you know, if I'm getting 50-60% of, the workload or in that situation, that's something I definitely want a piece of.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly. I mean, anyone who thought that Jerome Ford was going to come in and play 80% of the snaps as a second year, fifth round draft pick, he's got 39 career carries. You know, that was unlikely. They weren't even playing Nick Chubb 80% of the snaps. So as long as Ford's getting 50% or more of the snaps, he's going to be a valuable fantasy asset. So I do think Hunt has value to pick up, but he did kind of seem to be fading over the past few years. So I'm not sure if we're looking at Kareem Hunt from the past, but, you know, he's worth a spot on your roster as well.
For sure.
All right, let's move to Chicago. There has been a lot of waves out of Chicago the last couple of days. Bears defensive coordinator Alan Williams has now officially resigned. So I don't even really know. There are a lot of rumors swirling around him. I don't know what the actual reason was. But between their defensive coordinator resigning, Justin Fields made some interesting comments. The Bears on-field play has been terrible. Like, this seems like a team that we should target anywhere we can in fantasy football, whether it's, you know, offense, defense, quarterback, running back, I don't care. Like, this seems like a team to attack. So I just thought it was worth bringing up that Bears are like an early contender for a team headed down the wrong path for the 2023 season.
Yeah, it's just a dumpster fire. There's just no other way to sugarcoat this. And the Chiefs are a top three defense unit for me this week. They're ranked number three in my rankings this week, and that's not where I would normally put the Chiefs, but here we are. So it's just I feel for Justin Fields. I kind of feel like it's been a kind of revolving door of just mediocrity from the coaching standpoint. So I don't know that he's necessarily wrong in some of the comments that he's making, but you just don't come out and say that. It's just not professional. It's just a really bad look all around. So that team is just a mess. I just feel bad for Bears fans right now.
Yeah. If you take Justin Fields at his word, we might see some more freelancing, scrambling, just kind of natural downfield throwing. I think that would be good for Fields, but who knows? It's between him and the coaching staff. We'll see what the game plan looks like. But yeah, that defense is not very good in Chicago right now. So let's move on to Brandon Ayuk. He did not suffer a fracture in his shoulder, so that's good news, but it looks like he has an AC sprain. So 49ers wide receiver. I don't know. He's looking a little iffy for Thursday night football. Would you avoid playing him if possible, or if he's out there, are you starting Ayuk?
Well, considering they put him back out in the game after he got hurt, he left and then came back. So, and he's so good. That's the thing. So if he's out there playing, I probably want him in my lineup. But I did move him down in my rankings, when the news came out, about the AC sprain. So he went from wide receiver 18 to down to under the high 30s for me. He's a guy that I'm looking as a wide receiver 3 flex kind of a option. Whereas normally he'd be a very strong wide receiver 2 with a wide receiver 1 upside. So, as long as he's on the field, then I think he's worthy of consideration. But the fact that it is Thursday Night Football does give me some pause. You got to make sure that you're on, you know, his situation. Of course, whatever you do, don't put him in your flex, because if for some reason you can't get to your lineup in time, or if he has a disastrous outing, you know, you're not stuck with your flex and limited options from that point forward. So the old refrain of making sure that you know your Thursday night players are not in the flex spots is never more true than in this situation here.
Yeah, and he did kind of rotate snaps as he returned from the injury last week, so it wasn't a full slate of snaps. I don't know. I think a lot of teams could have drafted him as their, third receiver, maybe even flex if you're really going zero RB. I think if you're loaded enough at receiver, you could sit him just to be safe. But, yeah, I agree. If he's on the field, he's super talented, so you could do a lot worse. Okay, next up, Justice Hill. It went pretty fast, Drew. Justice Hill had his week. He now has a turf toe injury. The Ravens have signed Kenyon Drake to the practice squad. Same as it ever was in the Baltimore backfield, I guess. I guess we're running to pick up Gus Edwards now.
Yeah, get on the Gus bus, really. I'm sad because I was believing in Justice Hill here. He had won over the coaching staff, like we mentioned before in a previous podcast. You know, this is a brand new coaching staff who, you know, everybody gets a fresh slate when there's a new coaching staff coming in, and he carved out a role for himself, and he won a gig, and that gig was expanding as a result of the Dobbins injury. So he was primed to really kind of blow expectations out of the water, and now with that turf toe limiting him, it's really limits him at what he does well that no one else in that backfield does. And that's just unfortunate. So I'm definitely pumping the brakes hard on Justice Hill now, unfortunately. This is the Gus Edwards show, I think, right now.
Yep. Last week, 43 snaps for Justice Hill, 32 for Gus Edwards. They both had about the same amount of carries. So Gus Edwards was involved, looked pretty decent. Ravens run game looked good, even with some offensive linemen injured. So I think it's an offense worth having a running back in. It's Gus Edwards. I think we kind of know what his ceiling is, but he's worth a roster spot. So Austin Eckler did not practice with an ankle injury Wednesday. There's really not a lot of news on this injury. He's not ready to go right now. We'll see if that spills over into the weekend again. But I think I'm ready to trust Josh Kelly, even after a dud last week in a non-Titans matchup. The Titans are just such a good run defense. So the Vikings against your Eagles looked like they were actively trying to avoid stopping the run. That was one of the worst defensive performances I've seen. Yeah. So are you back in on Josh Kelly if Eckler doesn't play?
Yeah, here's the thing about the Vikings. I mean, all the Rashad White truthers are taking victory laps this week after what they did to the Bears, who we just talked about at the top of the show, but what a mess in the dumpster fire they are. But, you know, Rashad White had like 29 yards rushing, I think it was, against the Vikings the week before DeAndre Swift went off. So, I mean, part of that, I think, was a little bit of an outlier from the fact that the Eagles' offensive line is so good. And I think DeAndre Swift proved to everyone that I actually am talented. I think what we're going to expect with Kelly, I think, is probably somewhere in between. But I think he's going to give us a solid running back 2 performance. And given the dearth of really solid RB2 options out there, I'm definitely, like you, willing to give him another go. So he's getting that volume. I think he'll have a more favorable game script against a lesser opponent than what he ran up against last week.
Yep, he had 54 of the snaps. There were only about 13 other snaps to other running backs. So if it sticks like that, Kelly's he's at least going to find the end zone one of these weeks. So, okay. Next up, Saquon Barkley is already declared out for Thursday Night Football with his ankle sprain. Doesn't seem to be a high ankle sprain, but he's going to miss a little bit of time. Good luck starting Matt Breida against the 49ers. I don't know what else to say, Drew.
Nope, I'm out. Yeah, it just smells like a committee to me. And, if that's my lead dog and it's against the 49ers, I'm sure there's better options out there. No, thank you.
Yeah, I didn't even put in any waiver claims for Breda this week. I don't know if I'm – I hate to just avoid a player like that, but I think I've seen enough of Breda at this point. I don't know. So,
Yeah,
let's just hope that Saquon comes back soon. So.
But the revenge game narrative, the revenge game, right?
Oh, a revenge game. That's right. Maybe they'll give him a touchdown. Sure. You never know.
Yeah. You never know. But, yeah, I'm out. I just – you know, between Gary Brightwell could cut into that workload. Eric Gray, the rookie, I know he's got some work to do still in pass pro. But I'm sure he'll get some looks, but it's nothing there that's appealing to me. That offense in general is just ugly to begin with. You know, we can you know, trumpet to the heavens for them for coming back and beating the juggernaut Arizona Cardinals, but they were a team that went the first six quarters of the season without scoring a single point. And now you're taking the engine of that offense out. Saquon Barkley, I'm out. No, thank you.
Yeah, I felt very dumb last week for starting Daniel Jones over Jared Goff in my home league. It felt very bad at halftime, and it actually ended up working. I will not be starting Daniel Jones against San Francisco this week without Saquon Barkley. I can say that for sure. Yeah. So back to Jared Goff for me. All right. Next up, Bryce Young did not practice with an ankle injury Wednesday, the Panthers' rookie quarterback. Andy Dalton is ready to go if needed. We're not sure if Bryce Young's going to miss quite yet, but I'm not sure it really matters that much for the skill position players, Drew. Like, we lose some talent with Bryce Young, certainly, but Andy Dalton's a relatively capable backup. So any thoughts on if the Panthers are led by Andy Dalton this week?
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to be a net negative necessarily. So, yeah, I mean, Dalton knows what to do behind, an okay offensive line. So, but I think if we're depending on Panthers skill position players anyway, we've got problems. So, I don't know that this is going to move the needle a whole lot, really, for too many people, unless you're in a super flex league and you were planning on starting Bryce Young.
Yep. And I should note that CJ Stroud was limited with an injury, but I believe he played through that injury last week. So the other rookie quarterback seems to be a little better shape than Bryce Young, but we'll see if come the weekend. So,
yeah, the only one I'm worried about would be Anthony Richardson still in percussion, yes. Concussion protocol. So that's the only rookie quarterback really that's of concern. So we'll have to see what happens there. If he can't go, then it's Minshew mania, you know, and that could be good for Michael Pittman and some of the pass catchers in Indianapolis as well. And it also could be good for Zach Moss, meaning he'll probably be a bigger part of the game plan. So,
yep, we will talk about Zach Moss here in just a moment. So let's get on to running backs now. We'll get to some more news throughout the rest of the show, but those are some of the highlights up there. So let's start with some running backs that Drew is higher on than consensus. Some of these aren't a huge difference, but they're players I thought they were worth highlighting anyway. So let's start with Breece Hall here, home against New England this week. Drew has him RB22. ECR has him RB25. I bet there are a lot of people wanting to bail on Breece Hall after last week, Drew. So it's going to get better than this, right?
I think it has to get better than this. So, he's so talented, and you're giving him, four carries. And he's your best hope for winning football games right now. And, I know he's coming off of the injury, but I think he's proven to everyone that he's back. So I understand the reticence of trying to give him too much too soon. But I think we can give him more than four carries, right? So, and he's been absolutely explosive when he does touch the ball. So I can understand ECR being a little lower because it is the New England Patriots, a very solid defense. So I respect that for sure. But I just knowing that he could take it to the house at any given moment when he gets the football, he's a guy that I want in my lineup when there's, like we said before, there's very few, quality running back twos out there, but he's got that upside. I think even with limited touches, he's a guy I want in my lineup.
Yeah, big issue last week. I mean, they only had 46 snaps altogether as an offense, and it was a three-way split between Dalvin Cook, Breece Hall, and Michael Carter. So there just wasn't much to go around anyway, and then they chopped it up. I would wonder, Patriots divisional game, maybe there's a little more emphasis on this than the Cowboys last week. I mean, not that they don't want to win them all, but you need to win in your division. So maybe they do use Breece Hall a little bit more. I've got him in some leagues where I'm still sitting him on the bench, but I did have some luck with some waiver wire pickups. So I think that's kind of where I'm at on Breece Hall. If you got lucky and got some Kyren Williams types, I think I'd play them over him, as crazy as that sounds. But there's a lot of explosiveness here with Hall.
That's not crazy at all to me. I've got Kyron Williams in my top 12 this week. So
I know he's ranked up there. It's still hard to wrap my mind around it. It's right? I don't know.
Jerome, here we are. Jerome Ford and Kyron Williams as difference makers in fantasy football. So no one had that on their bingo card going into this 2023 season for sure.
Yeah, not by week three, certainly. Yeah. And I think more than ever, it's important to read the coaches' quotes. Don't just read what's out on Twitter, what analysts are saying without any sources. Like a lot of these backfields, it's a lot of the same, the options there. And we really have to decipher who the coaches want to play, because you can't just pick your favorite running back and assume they're going to play him, because it's not working like that in the NFL right now. You got to listen to the coaches and kind of figure out what the pecking order is here.
Right. So the coach speak is something is dangerous in the preseason, but once you get into the regular season and they're saying things like Jerome Ford's our guy, that works for me. So here we are.
Yep, I agree. Okay, next up, let's get to Tony Jones Jr. Playing at Green Bay this week for the New Orleans Saints. I'm speaking of backfields up in the air here. You have him RB37. ECR has him RB44. I just figured we should talk about this backfield as a whole. It's the last week before Kamara returns. Kendre Miller, the rookie, who we've seen none of so far, is finally back to a full practice. I'm not sure if he's going to be up to speed and ready for NFL action, like the first week off injury, Kendre Miller, that is. I don't know if we're looking at Tony Jones here for a volume role or if Miller's going to eat into it. It's a tough one to figure out in here in New Orleans. So what do you think about Tony Jones Jr. and the rest of that backfield?
Well, I think I'm probably too high, right, at running back 37. I think consensus is probably right here on him. Kendre Miller, I think, is probably, considering he is a full participant now, and I feel like this is his opportunity, really, to see what they have in him. So if they feel he's still limited in any way, then I kind of like where Jones is at running back 37 in my rankings. But if we keep getting another more positive reviews on Miller's health and his participation in practice, he has no setbacks, then Jones is going to drop in my rankings and Miller's going to keep going up. So I raised him already, Kendre Miller, and I'll probably raise him again. So I do think we have to watch Taysom Hill a little bit. He was involved in the running game this past week. I think he caps Kendre Miller's ceiling somewhat, even without Jamal Williams in there. But I do think it's definitely conceivable that Kendre Miller goes in there and blows whatever Tony Jones did out of the water. So Tony Jones was very touchdown dependent last week. So he scored a lot of fantasy points, but it's because, he fell in the end zone a couple of times. So I don't know that, like we said, that could be Taysom Hill doing that this week. And I think if that's what we're doing, if we're playing the hope he scores a touchdown game, I'd rather take the guy who I think has the ability to, be an explosive factor. And I think that Kendre Miller offers that. So assuming that these trends continue where Miller is practicing, then he's probably the guy that I would end up wanting to start over Tony Jones Jr. And maybe even think about Taysom Hill at a tight end spot as well. So it's kind of a little of a mess. And I think some of us are excited about Kamara coming back next week, but that's just going to make this even muddier.
Yeah. Green Bay is a good matchup. I mean, they're already six best from a fantasy if you're playing running backs against them, giving up points to fantasy running backs. I think they were ninth overall last year. So the trend seems to be holding with the Packers defense. They are a good team to start running backs against. So we'll see. This is definitely one. Read the coach speak, see what they say about Kendre Miller come Saturday, and kind of make your decision between those two, I would say.
Right.
All right. Here's one I actually tried to add in just about every league, especially he was available in a lot of dynasty leagues, some deep dynasty leagues. That's Craig Reynolds for the Detroit Lions. He is playing home against Atlanta this week. You have him RB40. ECR has him RB51. I don't know exactly the latest updates on David Montgomery's injury, but it certainly seemed like he'd miss a week here. Bam Knight was added from the practice squad, but Dan Campbell said, I see it being by committee if D. Montgomery can't go, but certainly Gibbs is going to get more opportunities. And there again, the more he got a little bit more, and there's some plays that he made, and there's a lot he left out. And some of that is being part of being a rookie. He'll get better with those, the more exposure he gets, and we need him to grow, and he will. So it's kind of back and forth from Campbell. We're going to give Gibbs more touches, but the more we give him, the more mistakes he makes. It's kind of hard reading coach speak here. So if you can make any sense of that, Drew, what do you think about Craig Reynolds, Jahmyr Gibbs, just this Lions backfield? Because we know we want to start players from this backfield.
It smells like the whole, like he didn't say it, but it smells like the hot hand approach is what it smells like to me. That's really what it is. So I think Bam Knight is a warm body right now from the practice squad. I think he's there basically. That's to say, hey, David Montgomery's not going to practice and I'm going to basically take his spot on the 53. But I think Craig Reynolds is probably going to be the guy that's going to get most of the work. With Gibbs, of course, I think probably maintaining the same role. So I think they plug Craig Reynolds right into that Montgomery role, and then maybe give Gibbs a few more opportunities. But I don't think anything significant. I don't think he's going to end up doing what DeAndre Swift did this past week. So I think Reynolds is definitely being underrated or by the ECR. 51, I think, is way too low. He should have a role. I think he's flex worthy this week. And with so many people struggling right now at running back, he's definitely a worthwhile add. He should be off waivers in most leagues.
Yeah, and that's not to knock Gibbs. I mean, he had 9 targets last week on 30 snaps, and I mean, 32 snaps. Like, he's very talented. He's going to bust a big play soon. He really should get more work. It's pretty clear to see that, I don't know, Dan Campbell has a type here. It's like he's got the plotter lead back, and then he's got the explosive third down back. And I'm just not sure this week it's going to change, even with David Montgomery out.
Yeah, I mean, I could see, Gibbs having a bigger week, but I also could see defenses kind of keying on him because now they don't have to worry about Montgomery running up down their throats anymore. And maybe Craig Reynolds doesn't scare him as much. And if that's the case and they disrespect Craig Reynolds, maybe he goes in there and eats a little bit. You never know. So I don't have high expectations, but I kind of like him as a floor option, for teams that are struggling for sure due to injury at running back two, or flex.
Atlanta has been good against running backs in fantasy so far this year. They were middle of the pack last year. I think it's still too early maybe to say that they're one of the tougher run defenses, but they're looking improved from last year. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, I think you can start both Gibbs, obviously, and Reynolds this week. There's going to be enough volume here. And this is an offense we want to start players in. So, okay, let's get on to some players that Drew was lower on in the running back position. We're going to start out with Zach Moss at Baltimore. Not lower by much. You're RB27. ECR has him RB22. He had a massive workload last week. I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around Zach Moss really being a workhorse back and taking over a backfield. Am I stuck in my kind of prior thoughts here on Zach Moss, or are you down on him a little bit too?
I think it's fair to question, honestly. I really do. So Moss, he's had opportunities in the past and just hasn't made the most of them. I think he benefited from game script and opponent a lot last week. So he played the Houston Texans, who are not the strongest team in football by far. And it was a situation where, I think they were in a situation where they could feed him the football. So I don't know that he's a threat in the pass game. So if this is a game script situation where Baltimore jumps all over Indianapolis, which there's a very fair to middling chance, at least, that that's going to happen, then I don't think we get the kind of production from Zach Moss that we got last week. So the matchup definitely concerns me. So I think I'm a little bit lower on consensus for that reason.
Yeah, Baltimore, one of the 5 toughest matchups against the run this year. Last year, I am sure they were right up there. Yeah, they were 25th. So not a great team to start a running back against. But Zach Moss got every single running back snap last year. So if you need to start him, for sure start him. I'm just not bought in on the talent here. I would also say if Gardner Minshew is the quarterback, maybe the running game's not quite as great as it is with Anthony Richardson. I don't really know. This is still kind of a developing team. Maybe it's just worth jumping in on this team and riding Zach Moss, but I'm just still a little hesitant. So I understand you being 5 spots lower. All right. This one I was kind of shocked on. I don't know if it's just the Ezekiel Elliott name or what, but Ezekiel Elliott at the Jets, ECR has him RB40. You had him RB56, which feels a lot closer to where I would rank Ezekiel Elliott. So I agree with you. Should we be rostering him at this point? I just don't know if we even need a handcuff in this Patriots backfield.
Yeah, I don't understand. I think it's a name thing, honestly. I really do. I don't understand what the attraction is with Ezekiel Elliott. So he's looked pretty good, I guess, in a couple of plays, a couple of situations. But this is a really tough defense, number one. If you're saying ECR, if you're saying running back 40, then you're basically putting him just on the outside of being flex worthy and playable. I don't want him anywhere near my lineup, right? To be fair, I really don't. So I don't think he really offers as much at this point in his career. That offense is not attractive to me at all. So if this is a Buffalo Bills situation, then I'd say, okay, we're looking at Damian Harris and we're looking at Latavius Murray. If he was in that role, then I'd have a lot more interest. But I don't see it. I don't understand what the attraction is and why people are, clamoring to have Ezekiel Elliott just in case. So Ramondre Stevenson is the better player, and I don't think it's even a contest. And I think Stevenson's going to be the guy who's going to get most of the work in that backfield. And scraps from Ezekiel Elliott at this stage in his career is not something that interests me.
All right. That can be a quick one. I just want to make sure I wasn't missing something there. So.
No. Yeah.
All right. Next up, much more interesting here, is Alexander Mattison, home against the Chargers. Now we also have Cam Akers in the mix after he was traded to the Vikings, although I'm sure this week it's not going to be a huge difference. But you have him RB20. ECR has him RB16. I feel like we probably have to keep starting Mattison right now. Maybe this is the week he breaks out against a bad Chargers run defense, but just kind of what are your thoughts on Mattison right now and then long term with Cam Akers in the mix?
I think he's definitely still startable this week. I think he's definitely still a running back too. He should still get as much volume, I would think, as he did before for the most part. I can't see Akers coming right off the street, coming into Minnesota, where Madison's been there for years, understands the nuances of the offense and pass protection and everything else, trying to, you got a 35-year-old quarterback in there that's kind of, without him, they're not going anywhere. Say what you will about Kirk Cousins, but he's a very capable quarterback. And if he goes down, the Vikings have no chance. So I know that they've kind of underperformed this year, but they're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. And especially when you have talent like Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and so forth, and TJ Hawkinson on that offensive side. I like the coaching addition too on the defensive side, Todd Bowles. So I think Cam Akers is just a smart ad. It's one of those moves where you're looking at the long term. And if I'm the Minnesota Vikings and I'm looking at, hey, we just never seem to get over the hump in the playoffs, this is a depth move for me. If anything were to happen to Mattison, I think Akers, by the time the end of the season rolls around, will be well versed enough in the offense to come in and be a difference maker. So I think Akers is a nice stash because the Vikings' offense is potentially explosive, and if it starts firing all cylinders. But I think Madison's is still going to be the guy for the time being and for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I get there are a few things that set off alarm bells here for me. Mm-hmm. One is that the Vikings are passing on nearly 78% of their plays right now, like first in the league. They are not running the ball at all. So that combined with adding Akers kind of sets off some alarms for me. They gave up as little trade capital as you possibly can. I think it was a 2026 draft pick. We don't even know what it was. It's almost nothing. So they didn't give up much. Normally I'd be like, whatever. They gave up nothing for a running back. It's depth. But it worries me. They have not been running the ball at all with Mattison. And then they actively go out and add a running back. So it certainly could just be the backups were nothing behind Mattison. But I would be a little worried on the teams I have Mattison. I agree. I don't think anything like next couple weeks it's going to be a big deal. But if it comes 3, 4, or 5 weeks from now and Akers looks good, there's no reason this couldn't be a split backfield, I don't think. So I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting one to monitor. But I feel like they did this for a reason. They've got to run more, and I wonder if they just don't like what they see from Mattison.
Well, and also think, let's keep in mind as well that Dalvin Cook has been the guy there for years and years, and Mattison was their safety blanket. Just in case something happened, they knew they had a guy waiting in the wings that could come in and perform. And I don't know that Ty Chandler's that guy, and Dwayne McBride adds zero in the passing game. So you look at what's left behind Mattison, it's pretty scary. So I think having that comfort, that security blanket, I think for the Vikings, I think really kind of helps them going forward, knowing that if, God forbid, if something happens to Mattison, there's a guy that can come in that's got some wiggle, some flash, and ability to kind of make a difference. So to me, that's what it is. But I can understand the reticence. I can understand the concern for sure. So it definitely bears watching.
And if you have Akers, I think this is one of the probably better spots he could have gone to. I mean, it's a good offense, at least. You know, he didn't get sent to some wasteland where they're going to put up a touchdown a game. So there's at least some scoring going on here. So, yeah, we'll see how that works out. I just Madison's production has been pretty bad. So hopefully he can get things rolling this week in what should be a pretty good matchup at home. So, okay. Let's get on to our Discord sit start of the week at the running back position. This one is again from Matthew Kava, full PPR flex. He asked if you would rather play Jalen Warren at the Raiders or Dalvin Cook home against the Patriots. You always know it's a good question. I got this a lot on Reddit, is when someone asks you a sit start question and they are back to back in your rankings. So I think they're really close in your rankings, Drew. So who would you like, Jalen Warren or Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, I think, and I could be wrong, but offhand, I think I have Cook a spot above Warren. But I'm not sure that that's how it's going to end up, you know, by the end of this week. So I will say this: I think Cook is the better player. Than Warren. I really do. Warren definitely had some splash plays last week. Part of that was game script. So he had some nice pickups, kind of like dump off passes on third and long that he just took and went like 10, 15, 20 yards on and made some impressive runs on there. Part of it's the function of the defense. And there was a situation where the Steelers were just kind of taking what the defense gave them and letting Warren kind of work underneath there. So I don't know that he's a guy that's going to ever be like an every down back or a guy that's going to take over a backfield. There's people that are banging the drum for him to be better than Najee Harris. And I'm sorry, I'm just not in that camp. But Dalvin Cook to me is not going to be the lead back in for the Jets either. So to me at this point, when you're this close to look at matchups, you've got Dalvin Cook against the Patriots defense. You got Jalen Warren against the Raiders. So I feel probably a little bit better rolling Warren out there, especially if it's PPR. I think Warren probably offers a little bit more in the passing game right now than Cook does, given their utilization.
Yeah, I would go Warren. I mean, the Raiders got absolutely gashed last week. It kind of sneaks up on you against the Bills. James Cook rushed for 123 yards, and then both Latavius Murray and Damian Harris scored a touchdown. They chipped in like a combined 50 yards. So they are one of the better teams to target, and they were last year. So, yeah, I think I would go Warren just because of the matchup. If Dalvin Cook was not playing the Patriots, I would give him a second thought there. So, okay, I think we agree on that one for the most part. Let's get on to wide receiver. I'm just going to scrap the higher and lower theme here at wide receiver because I think we just need to check in on some situations here. So we're just going to start in general with the Cincinnati Bengals receiving corps. I just thought it was worth checking in on them, Drew. This game is going to be on Monday Night Football. Joe Burrow's status is kind of up in the air. I think we should just talk about what are we going to do if we're not sure about Burrow's status on Sunday morning, or if Jake Brown is the quarterback. Like, there's a lot of different options that could be happening here. Obviously, you're starting Chase and Higgins if Burrow's playing. But in the other situations, what are your thoughts if you roster one of these players?
Well, I'm probably too high, I think, right now on Chase and Higgins, given the fact that everyone's so wishy-washy on Joe Burrow playing, and there's such a significant drop-off between him and Jay Browning. Yeah. So if Burrow's a no-go, then both of my receivers drop in the rankings. I would love to get some kind of clarity on this by Sunday as to where we stand with him. Thank you, Giants, for letting us know about Saquon Barkley today and not dragging it out. So Cincinnati Bengals, please do us a solid here with Burrow. Is he in or is he out? Just please let us know, right? So interestingly, though, Tyler Boyd, Burrow is struggling, right? We can't just overlook that part. He went from being kind of a nice bench option, high floor up player, bye week fill in, you know what you're getting from him, to barely even rosterable, even larger leagues right now. So he's now a Jag. He's just a guy. And that's a shame. But I think that's the function of Burrow being what he is. So I think I'm probably too high right now on Chase and Higgins as it is, given Burrow's situation. But yeah, I'm dropping them both significantly in my rankings. I think you still start Ja'Marr Chase no matter what. He's so talented. I can't imagine this continuing for him. I can't imagine him being, you know, the wide receiver version of Kyle Pitts, where he has all this talent in the world and doesn't do anything. We've already seen too much from him, I think, for that to be a situation. But I do worry a little bit more about T. Higgins, and he's such a great contested catch guy, and I think he kind of eats also a little down the sidelines and in different places where I don't know that Browning's making those throws like Burrow can.
Right. Yeah, I think it gets a little bit lost in everything that happened last week against the Ravens. That's a good defense. It defense that knows the Bengals really well. The offense started slow for the Bengals, but there was a holding on a third down conversion. There was a catch by the tight end just out of bounds. It started really ugly, but there were kind of a couple excuses, and then they did get rolling. So if Burrow's back, not too worried about this, but the issue with the calf thing is, like, even if they give him a week off, that may not be quite enough to heal this. So it's kind of like, does he just keep playing through it, or does he sit out multiple weeks? They're just in a really weird spot. So I don't know. If we don't know come Sunday morning, I think you got to leave him in your lineups, Chase and Higgins. If it's Jake Browning, I can't blame you for sitting him. I mean, I would keep them in my lineup, but I certainly cannot blame you. If you watch the Bengals backup quarterbacks in preseason, it was awful. So I don't have a lot of hope here. Granted, they weren't throwing to Chase and Higgins, but yeah, all bets are off if it's Jake Browning, a quarterback. Yeah. Okay. That's too depressing of a conversation. I'm just going to assume that Burrow's fine. That's okay. It's been a good couple of years. So I'm trying to stay positive here. So, all right, let's move on to another receiving core that's in division, the Baltimore Ravens receiving core. Zay Flowers, home game against Indianapolis. I was really impressed with them last week against the Bengals. You've got him wide receiver 26. ECR has him wide receiver 30. I thought it was worth checking in on the whole receiving core, though, because OBJ is injured. Did not practice today. Flowers looks like he's heading towards our wide receiver one status practically. Rashad Bateman hasn't done a lot yet. Nelson Aguilar kind of sparked last week and caught a touchdown. Like, this is an interesting receiving core. So what are your thoughts on the Ravens receivers?
First of all, I'm not depending on Nelson Aguilar ever in any capacity. I'm happy for him that he had a touchdown. It was a cute little dance. It was fun. I forgot who I was talking to here.
Yeah.
We was catching him, unlike Aguilar. That guy's a legend in Philadelphia. Always will be. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, I'm happy for him. I mean, honestly, to be fair, as an Eagles fan, really, we joke. But at the same time, he was very productive in the Super Bowl. So he was a key receiver. He's a key player in that game. So the Eagles don't have their one and only Super Bowl probably if it wasn't for Nelson Aguilar. And that's an interesting thing to say, but it's probably true. So that being said, like I said, he's not somebody that I'm interested in rostering in this situation. I would love to see Rashad Bateman get some kind of steady production and some steady target volume to see what he really is. Cause we heard a lot about how good he is. And then he got hurt. We never really got a chance to see it. OBJ got hurt, as you mentioned, but he wasn't doing much before. So he was on the field. He wasn't getting targets. So he was just kind of running routes. So, and then I think he made a couple of real nice plays, but he certainly wasn't being treated as an alpha prior to the injury, whereas Flowers has been. Like, 2 weeks in a row, he's impressed. So, you know, when a receiver like that shows you twice in a row in his first two games in the NFL that he's a difference maker, then you got to believe what you're seeing. And it looks like this new offense, this new Todd Monken offense, has the ability to make him a star. So I know Mark Andrews is probably going to obviously play a large role. So it remains to be seen if he will be the top target in the offense. But he's certainly going to be, I think, more significant potentially than Hollywood Brown ever was in Baltimore. And I just feel like he's a better short and intermediate receiver than Hollywood Brown was. I think Hollywood Brown made his money, I think, in Baltimore, you know, on being a deep threat and doing a lot of those kinds of things that I think Zay Flowers is more complete. So I'm happy. I'm very excited for Zay Flowers. And I think he has the potential to be the wide receiver one in this year's rookie class.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the Ravens last week. Lamar looked awesome against the Bengals. He was really good on his third down scrambles. I mean, I kept yelling at the Bengals defense that you can't spy him with a linebacker. They are not going to catch him, and they just kept trying it for some reason. But Lamar looked great. And then I thought it was worth noting on Zay Flowers, he caught that deep pass, and then they went right back to him at least one play, I think maybe two plays after that. It kind of seemed like they wanted him to get the touchdown, and he was just kind of gassed after a deep ball. But that's always encouraging when you're a fantasy player. It's like they are going out of their way to scheme up plays for him near the end zone. So I was impressed by Flowers. Bateman was kind of non-existent. It's still spread around. It's Mark Andrews is the lead target right now, and it's kind of spread around. So Zay Flowers may have some down weeks, but I think he's going to have a monster week one of these weeks. It feels like it's coming, and I would be starting him over quite a few wide receivers right now.
Oh, yeah. And I think his role is secured. I think that's kind of the heart of what we're trying to get at here is that he's a guy that I feel is startable just about every week until he gives us a reason to not look at him that way.
Yep. He played just about as many snaps as Mark Andrews. So that's probably all you need to know in Baltimore. So. Yeah. All right. We talked about Nico Collins last week, Drew. I think I undersold him and kind of talked you into underselling him. It's been some pretty good production here now for Nico Collins. You have him up to wide receiver 29 now. But actually, this whole Texans passing game, like, I don't know, Stroud's been putting up numbers. They're letting him sling it. And I think it's encouraging for all these players. Nico Collins, Robert Woods, Tank Dell, I added in some leagues this week. Like, I don't know, I'm kind of intrigued by Houston. I thought it was just going to be a bunch of running the ball up the middle, and they're letting Stroud sling it, and he's doing pretty well right now. I think he's got no interceptions on the year through two games. So what do you think about this Houston receiving core? Are you interested in these receivers going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, it gave me pause when we went into this game knowing that Stroud was missing four starting offensive linemen, and they still let him throw like he did. And on top of that he was able to put up numbers that he did with a patchwork offensive line in front of him, and a wide receiving core that, you know, lacks a true star, if you will. But yeah, Nico Collins has taken a step this year. He looks to be what we hoped that he would be. And Robert Woods is quietly getting targets. He's averaging about 10 targets a game, and that's been pretty consistent. I think he had 10 one week and 9 the next. So he's getting a lot of looks. I think Tank Dell went from 4 targets week 1 to 10 targets last week. So I can see his role kind of being a little bit more mercurial. I think he could be a situation where he might be a factor one week and disappearing act the next. So, I think Dell is a kind of a flex-worthy guy in larger leagues right now, and definitely I think he's a guy that, like you said, stash and add and see what happens. But I think Woods is a guy that you can probably start if you're hurting at wide receiver 3 or flex, because he's gonna see targets, and the same thing with Nico. Nico, just until again, and when a guy keeps showing you, hey, I'm that's 2 weeks in a row now he's done this. So I think you start him until he gives you reason not to.
Yeah, and Tank Dell saw a spike in snaps last week after Noah Brown went on injured reserve. So kind of tie that together. Maybe we're going to see this usage going forward. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed, at least from a fantasy perspective, on what Stroud is giving us right now. And I thought it would take a lot longer. So I think it's worth reconsidering this Texans offense and maybe everyone other than Damian Pierce. This is a bit of a split in the backfield. But the receivers, they're showing out right now.
Right, and honestly, I kind of wonder if Dalton Schultz is ever going to have a role here, because we all expected him to be the alpha in this offense, and that just hasn't happened at all. So that's surprising to me. That's probably the most surprising thing about this whole thing is that Dalton Schultz is kind of non-existent in this offense. So I kind of expected Pierce to have kind of a down year. I was lower on him consensus going in just because I looked at the probable game scripts and what he is as a player, and it just didn't look like a good match. So I thought Devin Singletary would have a larger role. That might still happen as we go through the season, so we'll see how it goes from here with this Texans group.
They're playing Jacksonville. They're kind of middle of the pack against receivers so far this year and last year, but the defense has not been very good overall, so definitely not a scary matchup. So I think if you need to start a Texan, you can feel pretty good, at least the pass catchers. So as long as Stroud's healthy, you can roll them out there. All right. Next, this one's kind of for me. I feel like I haven't seen a lot of the Titans this year, Drew, to be honest. And I kind of wanted to check in on DeAndre Hopkins. He's at Cleveland this week. You have him wide receiver 36. ECR has him wide receiver 31. He's a talented player. He can draw a lot of targets. He's kind of been not great, not terrible so far. Like, where are we at on DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, Hopkins is—he's a good player. He's likely a Hall of Famer. But the problem is he's got Ryan Tannehill throwing the football, and the Texans' passing game is just not that great. And we saw Treylon Burks have a nice splash play this past week, which was great to see. But I don't know that the volume is consistently going to be there. I think Tennessee wants to run the football. I don't know that they want to feature the passing game. So I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is really going to end up off being able to hit the ceiling that we know he's capable of having. So I don't think it's a great matchup for him either. I think Cleveland's defense is a little bit better than some people realize. Yeah. So I think he's kind of a low-end wide receiver 3 flex right now until further notice.
Yeah, keep an eye on his injury status, only because, I mean, he did play last week, but he didn't practice last week due to an ankle injury, and they did limit his snaps a little bit to primarily passing down, so you don't want to see that. I think he's trending upwards a little bit this week, so he's the type that's going to play through it, but it wouldn't be nice to see some practices and maybe a complete 100% workload on Hopkins. So yeah, I think Cleveland has looked really good. So a road game in Cleveland, that's probably a lot of Derrick Henry running the ball, I would say. That's a game script for Derrick Henry, I'd say. Okay. Another name, interesting name here is Marquise Brown against Dallas this week. Marquise still plays for the Cardinals with that interesting quarterback situation. So Drew, you understandably have him wide receiver 50. ECR has him up at wide receiver 43. I'm guessing they're buying into the 10 targets and a touchdown last week. But I don't know. I think there's some probably reasons to be skeptical on this Cardinals passing game.
So, well, I mean, Marquise Brown last week played the New York Giants, and we talked to a little bit about the New York Giants before, and I don't want to beat a dead horse there, but that's nicely saw 10 targets and a touchdown against the Giants. I don't think he's scoring against the Dallas Cowboys. So I won't be surprised if he gets 10 targets again. I will be surprised if he ends up producing with that. He didn't even have a very big yardage total either. It was like, what, it's like 54 or something like that yards. It wasn't anything that, you know, that's significant. And that's what you're going to have with Joshua Dobbs as quarterback. So Marquise Brown with Lamar Jackson interests me. Marquise Brown with Joshua Dobbs does not. So yeah, he'll get targets, but I don't see him as a major touchdown producer. And if you're going to ask me, will he score, will he not score? I'm going heavily on no, he's not going to. So yeah, no thank you on our Marquise Brown this week.
Yeah, and we mentioned, I mean, the Jets against the Cowboys last week only ran 47 snaps. The Cardinals ran 64 against the Giants. That could drop down by, you know, 17 or so there. That hurts targets. That hurts volume. Yeah. So, yeah, Cowboys are a real void for me right now. That defense is tough. So I would sit my borderline players against them pretty much every time. So,
yeah, and I like Micah Parsons is going to be all that Joshua Dobbs is going to be able to handle, frankly.
Yeah, so. They may want to give James Conner a bunch of carries. Just get through the game.
Yep. Grind that clock. Get out of here.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our Discord sit start. We got one from Matthew Kava here. Full PPR flex. Josh Reynolds home against Atlanta or George Pickens on the road in Las Vegas. I think the rankings, there's a pretty big gap here. But Josh Reynolds has been pretty good, so I figured we'd bring this one up.
Sure. Reynolds, I think, and I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's a little dinged up as well. So if Amon-Ra St. Brown doesn't play, then I think this becomes definitely more of a question, more of an actual situation here. But George Pickens had the week last week that we've expected George Pickens to have for quite some time. To me, it's definitely you know, an omen of things to come for him. I'm a believer in his talent. So for me, against the Las Vegas Raiders, please give me George Pickens.
Yeah, we've had some questions on George Pickens' profile, but when Deontay Johnson is out, that kind of changes things. They need to get the ball to George Pickens. So,
right.
Okay, another question from player to be named later in our Discord asked, Tutu Atwell or Sky Moore? I thought this was a fun one. It's probably one that no matter who you pick, you're going to regret later. But yeah, which one do you like here, Tutu or Sky Moore?
Well, if you were to ask me about 2 months ago, I was like, are you kidding me? Sky Moore, what's wrong with you? But because this is 2023 and here we are, but it's Tutu Atwell for me. So he's getting the more consistent volume for sure. So yes, I know Sky Moore had 70 yards and a touchdown. He also had that on three catches. We saw Kadarius Toney continue to be worked in the offense. We saw Rashee Rice the week before have a role. We don't really know which end is up with this Chiefs passing game from week to week, and whereas Tutu Atwell has been pretty consistent. So we said fade Tutu Atwell against the Niners, and he still did all right. So it's, to me, it's Atwell, and we go from there.
Yeah, Sky Moore did have three catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown last week, but one of those catches was pretty late. And you just look at the snaps. I mean, I know it's the Chiefs and they're still upside, but they had 67 total snaps. Sky Moore played 39 of them. They just have this gross rotation going on at wide receiver. Yeah. It's hard for me to get too excited about any of them. So I think I'm with you, Tutu Atwell. Yeah, keep rolling him out there for now. He's been good. Okay. Let's get
that feels weird to say that, doesn't it? Yeah, go Tutu Atwell. Yeah,
I had written him off so much. Like, I wasn't in on him anyway as a smaller receiver, and he had done nothing. Yeah. And now we're starting Tutu Atwell. What a year. And we still got a long way to go, Drew. So,
right.
All right, let's get on to quarterbacks. Benjamin Haller, as always, has a good streaming article up. Read that for some more details. But I got some names here, Drew. Scan it over real quick. Which quarterback streamer under 50% rostered? I'll let you cheat on some of them that are real close. But which quarterback do you like this week if you need a streamer?
I would say Stafford, Matthew Stafford against the Bengals. They're not strong as from a fantasy standpoint, or from a defense standpoint against fantasy quarterbacks. You mentioned, I think, before that they gave up the 6 both points this year. But I know part of that is due to the rushing utility of Lamar and Deshaun Watson to some degree. But, you know, Stafford's firing all cylinders right now, and he's making stars out of Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell. So, I don't know that you can ignore that. And again, this is Matt Stafford. This is a guy who's a Super Bowl champion, who basically drove, he was the engine behind Cooper Kupp boosting one of the best wide receiver seasons of all time. I'm still in the camp that says Cooper Kupp should have been the MVP that year, given what he won the wide receiver triple crown. And he also put up elite talent, elite numbers with Megatron back in the day, right? So he's a guy who's no stranger to making stars out of receivers. So I think Stafford is definitely one I'm interested in. Russell Wilson definitely opened my eyes a little bit last week. He's 53% owned. He had over 300 yards passing last week. Some of it was on a long pass to Marvin Mims, which was pretty awesome to see as a guy who was beating the drum on Marvin Mims, who had 5 snaps and then but it made 2 amazing catches on those 5 snaps. That's how you earn playing time, on a team that's missing Patrick. Yeah. So, I mean, Cortland Sutton is just kind of is what he is. Judy's hurt. They don't have Tim Patrick. They really need somebody to come in and step in. So hopefully Mims will play a little bit more. So obviously his value in that offense was apparent in that game. That's a big reason why Wilson had a game. So I think Wilson's value is tied to, you know, being able to, you know, use guys like Mims better in their offense. So against Miami, I think he's a solid enough option to play for him for sure. I will say this one sneaky going off script a little bit here. Baker Mayfield against the Eagles. Yeah. Eagles defense has shockingly been awful against the pass. So they're 2-0, but they've given up the most points to fantasy quarterbacks. They're second most yards, I think, given up of any passing yards of any team in the league. So they made stars out of Mac Jones and Kirk in that game. And then Kirk Cousins had, even though he lost, had a great statistical game. So Baker's firing all cylinders with Mike Evans. Chris Godwin hasn't even gotten in the act yet. So I think Baker, if you're desperate, is definitely a decent play.
Yeah, I think Stafford is the best floor. I'm not sure about his ceiling. The Bengals really need that game, and it's going to be at home on Monday night. But I do think Stafford has a really nice floor. My deep cuts, though, would be Baker against Philly. I agree with you there. And honestly, C.J. Stroud against Jacksonville, I mean, only 15% rostered. He's got 91 passing attempts in 2 games, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He threw for 384 yards last week against the Colts, and Jacksonville has not been good against quarterbacks this year. So I think if you're in a deep league, look to Baker against the Eagles or C.J. Stroud against Jacksonville. I am not playing Kenny Pickett, even in a good matchup against the Raiders, until that offense gets back on track. So that's the one I'm avoiding.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. Okay, let's get on to tight ends. I contemplated if we should just talk about Kyle Pitts, but, you know, I think if you have Kyle Pitts, you're on your own. You made your bed. You're just going to have to make that decision on your own. We all know the deal with Kyle Pitts here. So let's focus on the streaming options, unless you really want to chime in, Drew.
No, I mean, I drafted Kyle Pitts in one league, and it was the whole Michael Scott, no doubt about it, I'm ready to get hurt again kind of a situation. That's what I did. But this time I drafted him in the 7th round.
That helps.
I'm not going to talk about where I drafted him last year, because this is a family show. So moving on. I'll tell you who I do like is, from a streaming perspective, is Zach Ertz. So we talked before about, Hollywood Brown getting 10 targets. Well, Zach Ertz is getting about 10 targets a game, and that's been pretty consistent. That's been pretty consistent. So he is a top 10 tight end, I believe, so far in this season, or pretty close to it. And he had a touchdown go right through his fingertips in week 1 that was just a little bit overthrown. Had that ball been about 3 inches lower to the ground, then Zach Ertz would be, you'd be in the conversation for a top five tight end this year, in a year in which tight end production has been very, very difficult to come by. So I know it's the Dallas Cowboys this week, but given the volume that Ertz has been receiving, the steady volume, and the fact that he's a good football player. He knows how to get open. He knows how to play, especially in the end zone. I think if there's anybody who has a prayer of scoring a touchdown in this passing game against the Dallas Cowboys, it's Zach Ertz.
Yeah, it's not pretty with Ertz, bad quarterback. He doesn't have explosion at this point in his career. You're not going to get big jaw-dropping numbers, but he has the most targets among all tight ends with 18. TJ Hockenson has 17, and then it's down to 13 after that. So tight end is just a disaster right now. And if you're getting 9 targets a game, you kind of just have to take it at this point. So he's only 31% rostered. Like, if you need a tight end, you should go get Zach Ertz. Otherwise, tight end streamers, I think I'm fading off of Jake Ferguson a bit. He's had an abysmal 22 yards on 11 targets, and his snaps went down in week 2. I think Taysom Hill, like, if you want to do that, he had 9 carries for 75 yards last week. You kind of know what the deal is with Taysom Hill. We talked about Dalton Schultz. He's been a little disappointing, but Houston is slinging the ball, so he played 71% of the snaps. He could be interesting, but I kind of want to focus here, Drew, on Cade Otton, as odd as that sounds, against the Eagles. He's only 2% rostered, but he played 97% of the snaps last week and caught 6 balls on 6 targets for 41 yards. So I don't know. I don't know what league type you would actually be starting Cade Otton, but I wouldn't be surprised in DFS if he's a good play against the Eagles this week.
Oh, I think he's a terrific play in DFS. And honestly, you can make an argument that he's worthy of a streaming start in a 12-team league. I have him as my quarterback or my tight end 13 this week against the Philadelphia Eagles. I think consensus is way lower. They're like 26, I think. So I have him at tight end 13 this week. The Eagles defense is absolutely atrocious against tight ends. They are statistically by far the worst in the league. They were destroyed by Hunter Henry in week 1. They were absolutely just wiped off the face of the earth by TJ Hockenson in week 2. They have no N'Kobe Dean right now in the middle line. They're missing their middle linebacker, slot corner. Avante Maddox looks to be out for the season with a torn pec. So they're hurting in that interior defense right now. That's just considering Otten's been quietly productive as it is, I will be shocked if Cade Otton doesn't have at least 50 yards receiving and a touchdown this week.
All right, love it. I would also mention for some upside plays, Luke Musgrave is still only 20% rostered. I know he only had 2 catches last week, the Packers rookie tight end, but he did play 88% of the snaps. And then Chig Okonkwo has dropped down to about 51% rostered. It hasn't been pretty, but there's still a lot of talent there. So I would also be willing to roll the dice. It's not a good matchup against Cleveland for Chig Okonkwo, but I think if you're looking for maybe a rest of season upside play, you could do a lot worse than just kind of picking up Okonkwo and closing your eyes and hope that he figures it out one of these weeks.
Yeah, he's so talented. He's so fast. He was by far the 2022 draft class. He was by far the fastest tight end in that draft by a long shot. He's faster than many, if not most, of the wide receivers in that draft class. So it was cool to see him kind of really just kind of come on last year a little bit towards the end, and I had high hopes for him. But I think the addition of Hopkins is kind of definitely eating into that target share, because frankly, there's not enough targets to go around really in that offense, which kind of limits his upside, which is why we're talking about him as a streamer instead of an every week start.
Yep. Well, I'll just say the tight end position is pretty flat this year. There's a couple standout guys and everyone else has scored between 16 and 12 points. So just pick your favorite and not roll with them. That's what I'd say. Maybe try to pick matchups, but it's rough out there as always at tight end. So, okay, let's get on to some defensive streaming options real quick. Under 50% rostered here, with one exception. So you could go with the Jaguars home against the Texans, Seattle home against the Panthers, Browns home against the Titans, Dolphins home against the Broncos, Bengals home against the Rams, or you could even go Rams at the Bengals if Burrow ends up sitting. So any of these streaming options really stand out for you on defense. A lot of these went over 50%. You probably picked them up after waivers ran.
Yeah, I mean, and Kansas City might still be out there too for some people well in some leagues. Kansas City against the Bears for sure. So they're my third ranked defense this week. So I like Jacksonville over Houston. I know we've been singing the praises of CJ Stroud, but he is a rookie, and tape does have a way of catching up to rookie quarterbacks. And Jacksonville last year was the number sixth fantasy defense last year, and they were number one over the last 5 weeks of the season. They've started kind of coming together a little bit. So I think this Jacksonville defense is actually a little bit better than people realize it is. They've got some talent on that side of the ball. They have the number one overall pick in the 2022 draft on the defense amongst other pieces. So I won't be surprised if that offensive line. That Patrick offensive line has a lot more trouble this week with Jacksonville than they did last week. So I think it's a possibility we could see quite a few sacks here. Likely, I think it's quite possible Stroud throws maybe one, if not two picks, his first of his career in this matchup for sure. So that's interesting to me. Cleveland and Tennessee is interesting to me, given how Tannehill's been struggling and how good that Browns defense has looked so far. That's something as well that's interesting. And I think you had mentioned before that if Burrow sits, the Rams against Cincy, even though they're only 2% owned, it certainly enters the conversation. So.
Yeah, I really like Cleveland home against Tennessee. I mean, it was not the Browns' fault. Browns' defense's fault that they lost on Monday night. Their defense looked good as always. So Tannehill will take some sacks. He'll put the ball up in the air and up for picks. So I like Cleveland there. I'm not a big fan of Seattle home against Carolina, even with the quarterback situation. I just don't think Seattle's defense is very good. So I guess that's maybe one of the ones I'm kind of fading here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Pittsburgh too potentially might be someone to watch as well. Yeah. So that might be, yep. So,
all right.
Those are the Raiders, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. That'll work. They are probably highly rostered, but they're out there in some leagues. So, okay. Well, I think that wraps things up. Like I mentioned at the top, if we didn't touch on anyone, please check out the Sit Start article on the website. We will cover every single fantasy relevant player. If you ever want your Sit Start questions answered on the podcast and you're in our Discord, please ask away. If you're not in the Discord, please join us. Go to the website, check out PL Plus. You can be a part of that and get some awesome fantasy baseball content as well. So you got anything you can take us out of here, Drew? Anything recently coming out that you want to highlight?
No, I'm super excited for the Sit Start coming out. It's a huge, a lot of work goes into that. Our writers do a tremendous job breaking down every game. And basically using projected points as their guide for who we should roll out in a given week. So very, very excited for that and can't wait for week three. Hopefully everybody stays healthy.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.